Welcome to Cognitive Rampage Podcast. Hope you're taking care of you. Hope you're living your Cognitive Rampage. You have to believe in the power of you. Uncomfortable is where the change is. Welcome to Cognitive Rampage Podcast. Hope you're taking care of you. Hope you're living your Cognitive Rampage with this edition of Adam Does the News You Missed. The news you missed. Today we are talking about AI in the medical field and Facebook creating a device that reads your mind. Paralyzed man moves again. That's one of the first stories where this has happened, and we'll talk about how that happened in a $1 billion home. And then I'm going to talk about the Amazon fires at the end of this with my own take, with some things that I've read, I've listened to all over the place, really. So look forward to kind of venting about that at the end of this Adam Does the News episode. And what I need to check before I move on is make sure we're all good. I think we should be good this time. No broadcast interrupted jumping on here. But I hope you're doing all right out there. It's the weekend. Spent yesterday at the beach. It was beautiful. Going to head out to the beach again today. We are live and kicking. So we are a go. It's been so hot. So hot down here in wonderful FLA, Florida. It was scolding yesterday. But we were out there early. We were hitting the beach probably about 7 a.m. Spent a couple hours out there and came home. Be heading out the beach again today. Also, look for another episode of He Said, She Said going live tonight as well. We are almost caught up to date. What we've been doing is posting on the podcast the back episodes to catch it on up before we kept doing new episodes. So we posted episode 16 today. We've already done episode 18. You can go back and watch that on the Cognitive Rampage Facebook page. If you want to get ahead of the game. But all of these shows, whether it's the LMAO podcast, just posted another episode of the LMAO podcast today as well. A little segment I'm doing on that show called Bit by Bit, where you can help me build a comedy bit along the way. I guess this qualifies as news too, right? Giving you news in the from the Cognitive Rampage Entertainment Podcasting Network. So you get to hear all that stuff coming out. So LMAO episode just dropped. Go back and listen to that. It's up there. I do a little say. It's a segment called Bit by Bit where I'm using you all out there to help me work and build on a bit that I've been working on. And I'll eventually do that bit on stage when I get back to the mic and when the bit maybe reaches a point where it's doable, right? So we'll also have some other comedians coming on the LMAO podcast once again. And again, look out for He Said, She Said to go live tonight. Again, it'll be episode 19, but we've posted up to 16. We'll probably post 17 sometime today or tomorrow to try to catch it back up so everything is equal. And here we are with Adam Does the News. What I'm going to do is expand this out so we can read it. So what you may see as we pull this stuff up, we're going to cover one thing at a time as we go through some of these, so you'll be able to see here on the television. But this article, the title of it is First Paralyzed Person Treated with Stem Cells Regains His Upper Body Movement. This article came out on Truth Theory, truththeory.com, posted actually in February 2019, but it was definitely worth talking about. It gives some positive hope for those that may know someone, or, well, if it ever happens to you, man, it's a certain thought. Chris Bozon, a 21-year-old man from Bakersfield, California, underwent a landmark stem cell therapy procedure, which is allowing him to heal from the state of paralysis that he feared would be with him his entire life. When Bozon was younger, he was in a severe car accident, left him paralyzed permanently from the neck down. Charles Liu, a director of USC Neuro Restoration Center, lead surgeon of the team, did a transplant, said that it was very experimental procedure and referred to it as a study. In quotes, Bozon was injected with an experimental dose of 10 million AST OPC1 cells at the Rancho Los Amigos National Rehabilitation Center in Downey, California. The dose was shot directly into Bozon's cervical spinal cord. Typically, the spinal cord injury patients undergo surgery that stabilizes the spine, but generally does very little to restore motor or sensory function. With this study, we are testing a procedure that may improve neurological function, which could mean the difference between being permanently paralyzed and being able to use one's arms and hands. Restoring the level of function could significantly improve the daily lives of patients with severe injuries, Liu explained. It has been nearly 3 years since Bozon received the treatment in April 2016, and he was shown incredible progress during rehabilitation. It took only 2 weeks for Bozon to regain control and sensation in his arms and hands. That's amazing just at the beginning of it. As of 90 days post-treatment, Chris has gained significant improvement in his motor function up to 2 spinal cord levels. In Chris's case, 2 spinal cord levels means the difference between using your hands to brush your teeth, operate a computer, or do other things you wouldn't otherwise be able to do. So having this level of functional independence cannot be overstated, Liu told USC News. Bozon hopes that this same treatment can help him walk someday as well. Quoted from Chris, "All I've ever wanted from the beginning was a fighting chance. But if there's an opportunity for me to walk again, then heck yeah, I want to do anything possible to do that." These types of stem cell treatments are offering new hope to people in similar positions as more facilities are comfortable with attempting the procedure after seeing Bozon's success. Last year, the Mayo Clinic opened up a stem cell therapy trials for 10 people suffering from traumatic spinal cord injuries. One of the Mayo Clinic's stem cell patients, Geoffrey Craig of Grand Rapids, Michigan, just received his first stem cell treatment last month, and quoted from him, "I can feel the middle of my chest. So far, so good. It's pretty exciting," Craig told WZZM. "You know, when I got hurt, I was in a pretty dark place, depressed, thinking it was the end of the world type thing. It really isn't. There's a lot of support out there for people like me," he added. Over 5,000 people suffer spinal cord injuries on a yearly basis, according to a study conducted this year at the University of Minnesota Medical School. Spinal cord stimulation using stem cell does, in fact, help to heal paralysis in many circumstances. That is a story of something wonderful and amazing that's happening in science. Something, I'm telling you, just to think about stem cell. We had a guest on the podcast. I wish I could remember what episode. And for some reason, now his name always stuck with me. But for now, it's missing. I'm going to have to look that up here real quick. Dr. Oh, come on, Adam. I've had so many guests on the podcast, it's hard for me to remember. Dr. Van Thielen. That's his name. Dr. Van Thielen was a guest on the Cognitive Rampage podcast. Wish I could tell you what number. You'd have to probably comb through on YouTube or the iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you listen to us, or even at adamlowry.com you can find it. But Dr. Mike Van Thielen, that's it. Dr. Mike Van Thielen was on the podcast. And did he walk down the science of stem cell and some of the conspiracy theory about it, too, about why it's not really allowed in the United States? How many people, surgeons and et cetera, would lose money if this was happening? Drug companies. He walked down that. He's in the system. So it wasn't me presenting these conspiracies. He talked about it in depth. He talked about the process of stem cell therapy, the multiple ways to do it. A lot of people, when they hear stem cells, they automatically think that it's coming from aborted babies or things like that. And science is way advanced beyond that now. So that's not where that's coming from. Okay, so amazing things with stem cell. Go back, listen to that podcast with Dr. Mike Van Thielen. He covered it pretty in-depth there on that podcast, more than I probably could summarize here. So it's definitely worth a listen. And stem cell, I mean, I'm telling you, it is... It's the new age in science. I mean, it can essentially be anything. A stem cell injected into anything can become anything, whether that becomes bone, like now we're seeing nerve regeneration as well, getting sensory feelings back in people. I mean, and I think it's Germany, Japan, and another location, they're doing it. People that have traumatic brain injury, they are injecting stem cells into brains. Those stem cells then become brains and begin to revive people's thoughts and cognition. It's fucking amazing. that science, and it gives a lot of hope. So I wanted to open up with the first story that has some hope here before we continue to move on. And on to our next story, the $1 billion home. Just something to think about here and think about how much money gets put into things. Well, I'll leave my quotes here for the end of this, really, right? So Apple is building a $1 billion campus in Austin, Texas. I'm going to do my best to try to read the tiny font. I have to get up close to it, but tech giant Apple has announced plans to build a $1 billion campus in Austin, Texas, along with smaller facilities in Seattle, San Diego, Culver City. The Austin plans, images, well, they're seen here. You can see it. It's on the ArcDaily.com. If you go to ArcDaily.com, probably just search Apple's building or $1 billion campus. It'll pull up. You can see the pictures of this thing. I don't know if you're able to see it very good on here, but no, you're not. I had to go back and check. But they're building this new campus along with a bunch of other small ones around the nation, and the Austin plans images, of which have not been released, will see the creation of 5,000 jobs in the southwestern city as house prices in San Francisco Bay Area are beginning to discourage creatives from Silicon Valley. Yeah, the housing market in San Francisco is stupid. It is ridiculous right now. You're seeing that in a lot of big cities, especially the places that big tech starts to find homes. So as house prices rise, they're looking to spread that out, right, to where they can hopefully attract more creatives to come work for them, and people don't have to sell a kidney or seven other body parts to try to afford housing there. Apple has announced plans for a second U.S. headquarters at the beginning of the year as a part of a $30 billion investment strategy. In 2017, it opened the Foster Plus Partners Design Apple Park pictured above. Okay, so the picture above is the Apple Park instead. That's some futuristic-looking stuff, man. Austin currently hosts Apple's second-largest office in the U.S., handling customer service agents and some manufacturing facilities. The new campus is to be located 1 mile from the facility, will contain 3 million square feet of office space. In return for the building the new facility, Apple's expected to receive up to $25 million from a jobs fund in Texas. Well, there you go. Please come build your massive building here. We'll give you $25 million in tax deductions of some kind here just for building it. We'll help you build it because you're bringing 5,000 jobs to us. Talk about major tax breaks. I wonder what $25 million put into the actual city of Austin, Texas would do for people there, business owners or people that just live there, as opposed to helping Apple bring 5,000 tech jobs there. I don't know. I'll try not to get political here. While significant, the figure is far below the $2.8 billion Amazon could receive in return for expanding its operations in New York, as well as the $750 million it could receive in Virginia. $2.8 billion Amazon. We're talking about Apple here. This may be a misquote here, Arc Daily. 2018 saw many architectural milestones for Apple with the opening of Foster Plus Partners Design Apple stores in Milan and Macau. Among its many products of interest, the architect is the new iPad Pro, which we recently purchased an opinion piece on. News of the campus comes weeks after Google revealed its plans or revised its plans for a North Bayshore campus in California, focusing on the site's natural environment of affordable housing. So $1 billion campus going up in Austin by Apple. Well, getting a lot of money back in return for opening this campus as well. I don't know. I can just think of so many more things to be able to use with that money. I mean, it's their money, right? They earned it, right? They can do what they want with it. They can spend it however they want to, bring some jobs, I guess. That helps some tech people out in the city, I'm sure, I guess. But so much more possibly to be able to do with that money. $1 billion facility. You see that a lot all across the country, where cities give big companies like Apple, Amazon, all kinds of other companies to, you know, please bring your job here, bring your new facility here because it's going to bring 5,000 jobs. And then those paychecks that go to the people in the city, you know, boost the economy in quotes, et cetera. Mind you, they get all kinds of subsidies and tax breaks and all for opening those campuses there locally. You know, I can still think of a million other things to do with that instead. But all right, moving on. In other news that you possibly missed, AI and medical diagnosis. Now, top U.S. health systems are reacting to the disruptive force of AI by revolutionizing diagnostic imaging, clinical decision support, and personalized medicine. Look, AI is going to affect all kinds of jobs out there. It already is, and it will more so in the future, even from truck driving and on down, right? You can imagine. So as more and more AI machines get invented, I did the last story on Adam Does the News, one of the ones I covered, was how AI was diagnosing X-ray images and as well as CT scans and MRIs for predictive and or diagnostic methods. And we're extremely more accurate than doctors or human beings reading those, as a lot of bias is in those things. And look, the human can only see what it can see. So AI is rocking the medical diagnosis with its potential to incite drastic improvements to hospital processes. AI can process images and patients' health records with more accuracy and expediency than humans are capable of, lessening physician workload, reducing misdiagnosis, which is huge. I did a podcast on that too, about misdiagnosis and the issues with that. It's pretty rampant, and empowering clinical staff to provide more value. While early moving hospitals are already extracting value from AI and medical diagnosis, most U.S. hospitals are at the very early stages of AI transformation curve, and this risks of falling behind if they don't move now is what they risk doing. So in this report, Business Insider Intelligence examines the value of AI applications in three high-value areas of medical diagnosis: imaging, clinical decision support, and personalized medicine. To illustrate how the tech can drastically improve patient outcome, lower costs, and increase productivity, we look at U.S. health systems that have effectively applied AI in these use cases to illustrate where and how providers should implement AI. Finally, we examine how a leading U.S. health system validates AI partners and internally organizes its AI strategies to offer provider organizations a template for AI innovations. We're quoting here from Yale New Haven Hospital. The companies mentioned in this report are, well, at length. So there's about nine, from Mount Sinai to Stanford University, Oak Street Health, and more. So some significant places here. John Hopkins even is mentioned here, and a couple others. So here are some takeaways from this report. The use of AI in diagnostic imaging, clinical decision support, and precision medicine offers the greatest cost savings and efficiency opportunities across hospitals. Great. So you implement it for hospitals, you save some money, you work a little faster, get your efficiency rates higher, but let's not forget about the patients here, right? Most U.S. hospitals have implemented AI and risk missing tech gain if they don't develop an effective AI strategy. Early moving health systems are already reaping the reward of AI in medical diagnosis by improving outcomes, driving efficiency, and reducing costs. The winning strategies employed by hospitals that are undergoing an AI transformation reveal how to best capture the opportunity. These strategies highlight the need for an AI strategy underpinned by talent, data aggregation techniques, and partnerships with external vendors. In the full report, outlined how AI is disrupting medical diagnosis in U.S. hospitals, details the three key AI cases with U.S. medical diagnosis will create the most value, identifies transformation strategies that U.S. hospitals can leverage when deploying AI effectively, predicts how the use of AI will evolve within clinical decision support, diagnostic imaging, and precision medicine. So you can download the full report there if you go to businessinsider.com, but the fact is that AI is going to be disruptive in multiple places. It's going to be disruptive across the nation when it comes to jobs as well. And in the medical field, think about this. Would you rather have a person perform surgery on you or a robot? Right? We can look at the statistics as it comes to automated cars, right? And you look at automated cars, people are way more likely to wreck than automated cars. Some people, that scares some people to think about. But if you think about from the medical field, would you rather have a computer that can take your medical records, history, everything that it knows, and look at thousands of images across the span of other people, right? You can take brain imaging, for example, because a lot of brain imaging, right? We're sure but unsure in the mental health field about what it really means. ADHD probably is the closest to being diagnosed with certain brain imaging. But the point being is it's a gathering of hundreds, if not thousands, of tens of thousands of images of brains, and then comparing that to certain people with diagnosis, given the variabilities of correct or incorrect or misdiagnosed or not. And then comparing all of those images together to be able to more accurately diagnose your images, right? So this can so help people from being misdiagnosed, overlooked, or things that are missed, right, that come back as false positives or false negatives. For individuals, I think the implementation of AI in the medical field is way behind. It's necessary. It should be implemented in it. Doctors are overworked. They're stressed out. Nurses are overworked. I just read an article the other day that nurses have jumped to number three on the suicide jobs as one of the top three. It's increased by almost 7% over the last couple years. So hearts go out to the nurses out there that are trying to take care of you and do the best. And doctors too. Look, a lot of them screw up. A lot of them are terrible. They misdiagnose. They miss certain things, but they're also stressed to the teeth and stressed out from insurance companies and much more. Working hours that are ungodly for anybody, ironically in the health field, that are completely unhealthy. So the more we can get AI and technology, I think, into health, even in mental health, the more it can help. You're seeing that in mental health now. You're starting to see more brain imaging, biofeedback coming into that, to where we're focusing on the neurology, the neurological effects, right, of certain diagnosis, making huge leaps and bounds in EMDR and a new therapy I've been learning about called ART, A-R-T. So as you start to see some of this function in it, I get excited about it, right? But, right, you got to think there's always the bugs, right? There's those bugs in software and system that comes out that miss things. We need more tests, more work, no doubt. But there will be a day, I promise you, where it is robots performing surgery on a human being more so than humans. I'm sure robots do some already. But in the future, you may look to see where it's mostly robots performing that. And how would you feel, right, if you're going in there? Would you prefer, got the blue blockers up there. Thank you. Would you prefer a robot doing the surgery on you or a human being, right? I mean, human beings are prone to errors, right? The statistics are out there when it comes to self-driving cars, as I mentioned previously. You can look that and see, well, man, computers tend to operate better. But they do go haywire once in a while, as do human beings. So I look forward to that. I look forward to where technology is more so involved. Maybe even it's the second opinion, right? Can we check with the AI doctor as well, given what this doctor's saying? I mean, the more the merrier, right? You know what? I'm going to go off on a tangent about insurance companies if I don't stop now, and how insurance companies are the devil when it comes to Medicare and or medical and medical treatment for people in the United States. They really are. But that story was about AI entering the medical diagnosis field. I'm a fan of it. Wish more would enter into it as well. So our last but not least story, again, at the end of this story, I'm going to talk about the Amazon fires myself and my own takeaway of some things that I've heard, ranging from a bunch of different places to talk about. And I'll throw it out there and see what I get back. But before we do that, the second to last story really here is kind of freaky when you think about it. Facebook is funding brain experiments to create a device that reads your mind. How many people really want to be able to read other people's minds? Now, I know your immediate thought was, oh, I'd love to read the mind of the partner and my kids, right? The people I'm with or I'm in love with and my kids, right? But imagine strangers, right? I mean, this opens up a whole crazy world when you think about it, right? So Facebook is funding brain experiments to create a device that reads your mind. I mean, it's already close enough with the AI that's implemented in your social media. I mean, this is where you're getting the YouTube suggested videos and likes, Netflix suggested shows you might watch. I mean, AI is already implemented there. It's implemented in Facebook, Instagram, and everything else. You click on something that, you're interested in buying a certain pair of shoes. You click on the ad on Facebook, whatever. Next thing you know, you're seeing a pile of ads from shoe companies. I mean, it's already reading that thing. So it's already reading your likes, dislikes, stories you're reading to, help you produce the wall that you want to read and see. Now, it's to gather data on the back end of you, because data is the next or the current billion-dollar business of gathering and selling your data. That's really where it's at. Awesome. Wish I could remember the name of the documentary I just watched on Netflix. I don't know. It's on Netflix. Can't miss it. Mr. Donald Trump is sitting right there on the front. It's kind of fuzzy. That's the cover on Netflix. If somebody can remember the name of that, let me know. I'd love to comment it here if you can remember it. So, into the story. Big tech firms are trying to read people's thoughts, and no one's ready for the consequences. In 2017, Facebook announced that it wanted to create a headband that would let people type at the speed of 100 words per minute just by thinking. Now, a little over 2 years later, the social media giant is revealing that it has been financing extensive university research on human volunteers. Sounds like the beginning of a sci-fi movie already. Today, some of the research that was described in a scientific paper from the University of California, San Francisco, where researchers have been developing speech decoders able to determine what people are trying to say by analyzing their brain signals. Oh, it's getting scary already just by doing that. The research is important because it could help show whether a wearable brain control device is feasible, and because it is an early example of a giant tech company being involved in getting a hold of data directly from people's minds. Oh my God. To some neuroethicists, that means we are going to need some rules, right? And facts. And fast facts about how the brain data is collected, stored, and used. Yeah, you think so? What's the gentleman's name in Jurassic Park? I'm going back. I'm dating myself here. Goldblum, right? Jeff Goldblum makes it to where sometimes we don't think whether we should do it. We just do it. Some sort of phrase like that, if you can remember. We should be thinking about whether we should do it, not just if we can do it, right? In the report published today in Nature Communications, UCSF researchers, led by neuroscientist Edward Chang, use sheets of electrodes called ECOG arrays that were placed directly on the brains of volunteers. The scientists were able to listen in real time. Oh my God. We're able to listen in real time as three subjects heard questions read from a list and spoke simple answers. One question was from 0 to 10, how much pain are you in? The system was able to detect both the question and the response of 0 to 10 far better than chance. Another question asked was which musical instrument they preferred, and volunteers were able to answer piano and violin. The volunteers were undergoing brain surgery for epilepsy. Facebook says the research project is ongoing and that it is now funding UCSF in efforts to try to restore the ability to communicate to a disabled person with a speech impairment. That is amazing. I have a cousin that is battling aphasia right now, trying to get that back. For those that can't battle back or can't speak, I can see an amazing thing here, right? Just like the stem cells. But I mean, if this is able to allow people to communicate once again, the freedom that is lost in those disabilities. But every once in a while, I get weary about that, right? It's the wolf in sheep's clothing here, right? Is they present it as this wonderful thing that's going to be able to do, aka the Patriot Act, that they put this out there. They put this out there of going, this is the things that we're really focusing on doing with this. Next thing you know, it was meant for this, right? I mean, nuclear weapons for another one, right? I mentioned the Patriot Act because the way it was pushed is it's protecting all of us. Next thing you know, it's 2 hours ahead. You have to get to the airport before you get through, and everyone's being checked for everything. Your data is collected. Privacy was eliminated, essentially, with that, right? This sounds great, right? I love to say it sounds good. You're putting something out there. I mean, yes, if this could help disabled people communicate or people with speech impairments, I am a fucking fan. Go for it if it can stick that way, right? This is professional news. That's why you hear the F-bomb. It's crazy. To that end, Facebook also has also been funding work on systems that listen in on the brain from outside the skull, using fiber optics or lasers to measure changes in blood flow similar to an MRI machine. Such blood flow patterns represent only a small part of what's going on in the brain, but they could be enough to distinguish between a limited set of commands. Being able to recognize even a handful of imagined commands like home, select, and delete would provide entirely new ways of interacting with today's VR systems and tomorrow's AR glasses, Facebook wrote in a blog post. Facebook has plans to demonstrate a prototype portable system by the end of the year, although the company didn't say what it would be capable of or how it would measure the brain. Privacy questions, right? This has got to pop up. And you got to go further, right? I mean, 2-3x this thing. If it's not sure, right, of all the other things that are going on in the brain at the same time, it seems like a lie detector test here, right? Lie detector tests are not admissible in court, right? They're not even admissible. You can't use them, but yet people think if you take it, if you watch Maury Povich, lie detector tests are 100%, right? So it talks about it, but there's so much more going on. So where does this go in the future if people believe? I mean, we got the Minority Report going on, right? They're going to arrest you for a crime you didn't do because you thought about it, right? It gets kind of scary thinking about that. Research on brain-computer interfaces has been speeding up as rich tech companies jump in. On July 16th, Neuralink, a brain interface company formed by SpaceX co-founder Elon Musk, said it hoped to implant electrodes into the brains of paralyzed volunteers within 2 years. Okay, at least they're starting there, right? I mean, if I was paralyzed or something like that, I'd be like, down, put it in me. I don't care. If I can talk or think again or communicate with the world again, that's amazing stuff. Watch the wolf in sheep clothing, though, right, where it goes to. However, the public has reason to doubt whether tech companies can be trusted with the window into their brains. Last month, for example, Facebook was hit with a record $5 billion fine for deceiving customers about how their personal information gets used. Of course, it is being used, people, I promise. To me, the brain is one of the safe place for freedom of thought, of fantasy, and for dissent, says Nina Farahay, a professor at Duke University who specializes in neuroethics. We're getting close to crossing the final frontier of privacy in the absence of any protections whatsoever, end quote. Facebook emphasizes that all the brain data collected at UCSF will stay at the university.
Right.
Sure, it will. But Facebook employees are able to go there and study it, right? So if you're an employee, you can go there and study somebody's brain thoughts, right? It's all kept private, right? No one's going to take them out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's not known how much money Facebook is providing a university, nor how much volunteers know about the company's role. A university spokesperson, Nicholas Weiler, declined to provide a copy of the research contract or the consent form signed by the patients. Not even the consent forms? I think the consent forms would say it there, and you didn't even give a copy of it. All right. He said the consent forms list Facebook among several other potential sponsors of the research. There you go. A couple of corporate veils lined up of who we're able to sell your data to after we get it, and other tech companies working on other things to see how it's working. While a brain reader could be a convenient way to control devices, it would also mean Facebook would be hearing brain signals that could, in theory, give it much more information, like how people are reacting to posts and updates. Holy shit. Brain data is information-rich and privacy-sensitive. It is a reasonable concern, says Marcelo Inca, a brain interface researcher at ETH in Zurich. Privacy policies implemented at Facebook are clearly insufficient. Facebook says it would do better with brain data. We take privacy very seriously, says Mark Chevalet, who leads the brain reading project at Facebook. The fact that there's a brain reading project is scary enough to me. You can read that at technologyreview.com. Technologyreview.com posted that story that can terrify the heck out of all of us. See, Zach Rhodes actually just joined the podcast. Zach Rhodes, podcast worth listening to, just put out a new book with a distant virtual mentor of mine, Dr. Stanton Peel, who's been on this podcast, by the way, twice. You can go back and watch Dr. Stanton Peel's appearances on the podcast. Zach Rhodes has also been on this podcast. Those two have been taking a wonderful different approach to addiction and how to treat that, the misconceptions of treating that. Zach, if you want to comment your book here, buddy, I'd love to put out the name of your book that just put out there. But probably if you search Dr. Stanton Peel, Zach Rhodes, R. HOADS, and that's ZACCH. You'll probably find that book somewhere out there. Somewhere out there. All right. I used to play that song constantly, Somewhere Out There, at all of my Pop Warner homecomings. I used to be on the homecoming a few times, and every year I'd have to walk down the homecoming in the middle of the field to Fievel, Somewhere Out There, in case you wanted to know that in news you missed, right? So I'm going to wrap up this podcast with just some thoughts about the Amazon fires, right? I posted it about a week ago or something like that about what was happening and got some awkward comments on there, some supportive, some not. The first response that I got on there is simply an obvious one to some people, just stating that, look, these fires are natural. It's a natural occurrence when lightning hits or something like that. It clears out the underbrush naturally and those ashes, etc. I'm certainly summarizing this. Regenerate and rejuvenate the soil and making it better for growing and more green later. And this is true. This is true. If the fires were naturally started, all right? So there's a lot of evidence out there that these fires are being set. There's a lot of reporters that have been down there risking their lives to show how these fires are being set, that they're not started, and that nothing is trying to be done to stop these. Now, it's not just in Brazil, right? It's all over the surrounding countries around the Amazon where these fires are taking place. It's a tragedy. And again, you're talking 10% of the oxygen. It is the largest filter of our air here on Earth. Okay, so when your air condition is starting to go, you get a little nervous, right? Or your air filter that's out there that's helping you be able to breathe, you got to get nervous. President Macron of France, right now the G7 is going on right now, which has always been kind of a creepy, weird meeting for me to think about when the top seven economic powers all meet in one location. It's some comic book thing of a new world order in some fashion. Many conspiracy theorists would walk you down a rabbit hole of the G7 meeting. That's going on this weekend. You know, it's not a whole bunch of politicians and people that meet up, really. It's kind of a close group, which is a little more creepier. The fact that not a whole lot of people are involved in it, where they're supposedly just talking about the problems of the world and what to do it. And President Macron came out and just, I believe he tweeted, that our house is on fire, literally. And let me see if I can... I knew his name. President Maduro, I may have this wrong, the president of Brazil, who's kind of a weird guy. Let me make sure I can pull this up. I don't want to say President Maduro because I listen to way too much news already. Yeah, it's not Maduro. Bolsonaro, that's it. President Bolsonaro came out and fired back at President Macron. I did it. President Macron, a little Frenchy. And Bolsonaro took that as a lead-in of France trying to say this is what they're using to try to get in to mess with our resources, okay? He's not been one to do businesses with or to do business or deals with any of the G7 companies, right? Not allowing them into the country, which, hey, I get with you. There's a history of G7s walking into developing countries or developed countries along the way and snatching those natural resources. So what he's saying is it's not your home. The Amazon is our home. It's our thing. And so stop trying to make these quotes like it's part of your home here, right? As a way that they can some sort of organize some sort of world global power to be able to come in and begin to take the natural resources from Brazil. This is how he took it, right? He also narcissistically, President Bolsonaro, said that, look, all these are conspiracies they're putting out against him just to make him look bad, that he's not doing anything about it to get him out of power, etc. So he kind of went down that road too. But look, where you stand on the fact that if 10% of the oxygen that is produced in our world is in part of your country, not all of your country, part of your country, where's the responsibility for that? That you need to protect that, do what you can, not just let this continue to happen. And where does the world's, you know, where does the world lie in making sure this is protected? You know, it's partly in your home, yes, but if you're not doing anything about it, Should we be able to come in and do anything about it? Would that be looked at as an invasion, right? We'll be having this, we're coming in to take your natural resources, really, or we're trying to save 10% of our oxygen-creating location, right? So I'm squirreling off here. The coffee's doing it. But those first posts about it being a natural occurrence that regenerates, you know, forests, et cetera, yes, this is true. But there's tons of evidence and research showing that these are being started. Why those fires are being started, there's a couple theories out there. One, you know, Bolsonaro thinks it's to make him look bad, and so that the global leaders of the G7 could come in and begin to take over the resources that are believed to be deep in the ground and abundant in Brazil. Possibly that's it, right? We could go further down into the world leaders aspect, that they're starting the fires to be able to start this PR campaign that's being pushed like crazy. So we now have to go in there and do something, and the UN and the G7 all go in there and then confiscate, in quotes, right, or take over or martial law this the wonderful country of Brazil to be able to take their resources and slowly be able to do it. Maybe sheep's and wolf clothing, right? Right. We're talking about G7 powers here. You can't walk away from the possibility of those things. I'm just throwing it all out there. But there is a ton of research and reporting that's been done years and years and years ago. Vice did a story on this before they went completely left field. See what I did there? Before they went completely left field, I actually kind of did a double back end story on that where I talked about on the podcast how massive, I mean, thousands and thousands of acres of rainforest are being cleared at a crazy pace to plant for palm oil, right? And palm oil is not something you want to be eating anyway. Palm oil goes in all kinds of products, from lipsticks to food products to on and on and on. Just search how many products have palm oil in it. It's ridiculous. It's all over the place. You'll be surprised what's in it. I went through my house after that podcast and tried to get rid of everything that I knew had palm oil in it. So the issue, they're replanting these palm trees to pull the palm oil, but the problem is the palm trees don't do near the cleaning or recycling of the air that the rainforest does. It's terrible to do it. It's not a good plant for it. So we're losing more and more, and they're clearing it. Now, mind you, on a sad note, orangutans, which are the cutest little things, if you look at them right, they're some of the smartest on the planet, too, as well as far as animals go or mammals go. There's videos out there of orangutans learning after watching fishermen and grabbing a spear and learning how to throw a spear from a log overhanging on a river. Now, whether they figure out water displacer or not is yet to be seen, but over time, right, you know, it's weird to look back, like, you know, like they're in an evolutionary period beginning to use tools now. But my point is there's so many sad pictures and stories where you're seeing our baby orangutans, adults, mamas trying to, they're running out of places to live and to be. They're being burned out of their homes, burned alive, literally out of the Amazon. It is a sad, destructive thing that's going on over there, right? So I saw some of that, right? Then you see other people posting a couple other comments on that little rainforest issue that it's not as bad as people are making out to be. It's just the numbers are the same as last year. But look, somewhere along, and look, it's also being cleared for cattle, land, meat, etc. This as well. The point being is land is being, let's forget about why, right? Maybe we forget about why. I believe it's pointing to profits on some end, right? Whether it's for a global seizure to be able to come in and seize the natural elements and natural resources of Brazil is, I don't want to say it's a stretch, okay? You know, maybe it is, maybe it's not, and he's pointing that out, that you guys are just talking about this and making it a big deal so you can come in here and take our natural resources and drain Brazil and possibly other surrounding countries. Hey, there's a history, okay? There's a history of that. You know, it's definitely there. But that aside, right, if that's what's happening, or, you know, it's for palm oil or growth of or for livestock, land, things like that, either way, it's burning, right? Either way, it's burning, and the facts are, right? I like to quote Sherlock Holmes, not to use theories to shoot facts, but facts to shoot theories, and the facts here, it's burning. Okay, that's a fact. It's burning. Is it equal to last year? No, it's more. The shots from space and other things, sorry, flat earther, shots from space, et cetera, are showing how it's just getting worse and worse. Mixed with the burning and the land clearing, it's gotten worse. So when you think about it, if you're a land developer, farmer, or whatnot, and you want to clear land, a lot of times what was happening, as I reported on my last podcast, this is a long time ago, like 3 years ago for that podcast, the local farmers are fighting back, right? Now, those local farmers are coming up missing, murdered, etc., when they're not giving up their land to these massive corporations that are clearing the land for palm planting. And now, let's say you're one of those land clears, right, or palm plant. I can pay people to go in there and clear the land, right? I can battle with the local politics of the local farmers, get into some dark gangster shit with other farmers about, you know, am I able to clear the land? Can I do it? Or do I just set it on fire? You see, if I set it on fire, then the farmer's not using it. He's got to evacuate or she's got to evacuate. The farmer's got to leave because their lives are in danger. There's no local politics anyway. It's on fire. Maybe they get to come in and save it from you. And now we sort of just kind of take the land from you, right? It's a faster way to clear it with less politics, less human interaction along the way. So those are some of the facts we can point out, right? It is burning. It does constitute for 10% of our air filtration system of getting the CO2 out of the air. Now, with that much of it on fire, literally a dark cloud blacked out the afternoon in some cities in Brazil. Can you imagine in the city that you're in now and some Independence Day shit happen? Just, the you know, like those, sadly, those tragic fires in California, the volcano out in Hawaii, right? When the just the smolt and smoke just blocks out the sun and it gets crazy out there. I mean, that would freak me out. You know, the fact is that it's burning, and it's been burning. It's been getting cleared. These are the facts. That's just what's been happening. And, you know, Joe Rogan actually posted a video today of a gentleman, I wish I could quote him, who's sitting right there. He's sitting at a fire going, I got to get out of here soon, but I'm pointing this out. No one is out here doing anything about this. And that's the tragic part. You know, the facts that lay beneath it, whether you're right-wing, left-wing, conspirator, or anything else, the fact that it's burning is tragic, and how much of it is being cleared and burned at a astronomical rate is what's scary, okay? Let's try to focus on that before we get down too many conspiracy rabbit holes as I've laid out here today, and I hope we can find a way to do something about it. You know, there is a $1 billion facility being built by Apple in Austin. There's some money we could throw at it. I mean, when we look at so much money that goes out there and is just burned on things like that, sorry for the shitty pun, but it's literally burned on new facilities, new jobs, and things like that. It's, I don't know, it becomes outrageous to me how much money gets thrown up there when there's so much to fix. Even just here at home in the United States, housing issues, crime and violence in local cities, and we just burn through money doing crazy things, y'all. Well, sorry to end it on that sad note, but that's some of the news you possibly missed. Maybe you didn't. Maybe you did, but now you know. And now you know the rest of the story. Right? Missed that, dude. But now you know the rest of the story. Some of those things, you can go to all of those websites where we pulled them from. I quoted those in the podcast as well. Oh, it's time to go to the beach for us. We are out of here. I hope you stay tuned later on tonight. You'll catch an episode of He Said, She Said. We're back, y'all. All right. Hope you're taking care of you. Hope you're living your cognitive rampage. Hope you enjoyed the news.